Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Tonight we're going to look again at the Alpha course. We dealt with this a couple of weeks ago, and last time I was here on a Sunday evening, and we couldn't do it in one message, so we're continuing the message, really, of a couple of weeks ago. But we're going to unite together, please, at the throne of grace in prayer with our Bibles open before us, and let's seek the face of God in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for the blood and righteousness of our Saviour. We realize the one to whom we look, the one who can alone save the soul. And our God, we realize that that salvation must be a heart salvation, not just something that is outward or something that is superficial, but something that reaches right into the heart. And our God, we thank Thee for the God-ordained way of salvation, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we thank Thee, Lord, for that faith born in hearts as a result of the preaching and speaking of Thy Word to the hearts of men and women. And we pray that Thou wast even blessed tonight as we gather round Thy Word, as we deal with this subject, O God, we'd ask that Thou wast help us to understand and take in what Thy Word has to say. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we began an examination of the Alpha course, and we were prompted to do that, first of all, because of a recent advertising campaign, and it has been going on in the buses and on the bus shelters, and there has been an attempt to promote Alpha afresh. And also because, more specifically, there has been an Alpha course that has started in the town a couple of weeks ago in the community centre. And last time we began looking at the Alpha course, and we spoke about the poison that Alpha contains. And we said that when you look at the Alpha material and when you look at the Alpha course and you were to examine it, you would find that 90% of what you see there you'd probably agree with. It is just something that if you looked at it in a very cursory way and just glanced at it, you probably wouldn't find that there very much to object to. However, we said that while there is 90% of that which is good, it is the remaining 10% which has the effect of poisoning the whole stream. And we pointed out how there is a poison at the very heart of the Alpha course. And just like rat poison, where only a small proportion of the feed that is brought to the rats is poison, so it is with the Alpha course. And we pointed out that the Alpha course, in order to bring in Roman Catholics and liberal Protestants, and bring in as many denominations as possible within its fold, has jettisoned the very heart of the gospel, which is justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, in the Alpha, you read it and you would find that even in Alpha, there is what seems to be a sinner's prayer. You come to the end of the third or fourth week, and there is a prayer that is given for people to pray, and we quoted that prayer to you last time. But what we pointed out was that in the prayer that you pray, you are told to pray, Lord, forgive me for the sins that I have committed in my life. Now, we said that they weren't told to pray, Lord, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness, but Lord, forgive me for the sins that I've committed in my life. Now, that's a very subtle difference, but it is an important difference, because that is what the Roman Catholics believe when they go to the confession. When they go to the confession, they ask forgiveness for the sins that they have done that week, that month, or if it's the first time they've ever gone to confession, for the sins that they have done in their lives. Because a Roman Catholic believes that when he is baptized, he is born again. And he is no longer a sinner in that sense. His sins have been washed away. His sins have been dealt with in his baptism. And then when he comes to confession, he keeps confessing his sins, but all he needs to do is confess the sins that he has done in his lifetime. Now, the Alpha Prayer is just the same. It leaves the Roman Catholic no different from when he goes to the confession. He does not say that he is a sinner, because that would cut across Roman Catholic theology. So in order to bring all in, if you follow Alpha guidelines, you could never say to a person that your baptism doesn't save you. You could not say that. You could not say that your good works do not save you. Because Alpha is a catch-all. It brings everybody in. So in order not to offend other churches, and specifically the Roman Catholic Church, it has jettisoned the very heart of the gospel, which is justification by faith alone in Christ alone. And indeed, after a few lessons, Alpha will assume that everybody is saved because they come along to church. Because they are church-going members, that makes them Christians. But that's not the gospel. The gospel says that we have to come in repentance to God and say, I am a sinner and I have gone against God and his word, and I am one who is totally depraved before God. Save me. That's not what Alpha does. So he said there's a poison at its heart because it jettisons the very heart of the gospel. So we notice the poison that Alpha contains. And then we notice the people that Alpha identifies with. And we weren't going to make a big thing about this, but we notice some of the people who are influential in the formation of the Alpha Course. We said, of course, that it comes from Nicky Gumbel, the curate of Holy Trinity Church in Brompton in London, an Anglican Church of England church. But he is greatly influenced by John Wimber of the Vineyard. And the Vineyard is very much charismatic. John Wimber is dead now, but he has been instrumental. Now, we looked at John Wimber for a wee minute last time, and we saw that he has claimed great healings, but hasn't been able to prove or substantiate any of them. And we spoke about how that he has that very tenuous grip on reality, or had when he was alive. And we spoke about some of the people that Alpha quotes, and how it seems to put its seal of approval upon rock stars and upon Roman Catholic Jesuit priests and upon all sorts of people. And we pointed out these people that Alpha identifies with. But what we want to do today is come to the purpose that Alpha desires. Now, the Course says, and it would claim, that it is a basic introduction to Christianity. But you don't have to read very far into the documents of Alpha to see that it is very much more than that. That is not its ultimate purpose at all. And when you read the statements of Alpha leaders, it underlines even more that that is not the ultimate purpose for which Alpha is designed. And I know that there are many people who have got involved in Alpha, or who have brought their family and friends along to the Alpha Course so that they would see them saved. But that is not the primary purpose of the Alpha Course. We have read in the passage of Scripture that we read it earlier in John chapter 10, or Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Alpha very much does not rely upon the word of God. It relies on experience. It relies on outside influences, and it is something that turns away even from the gospel message of salvation. But what we want to do tonight is to come to really what is the third point of our sermon, which is the purpose that Alpha desires. And there are a number of purposes that Alpha desires that I want to bring to your attention. And the first thing that Alpha desires is the promotion of charismatic phenomena. Now, if you were to get the Alpha material and read it, you would find that very clearly, that that is what it is. And the very heart of the Course, and the very center and highlight of the Course, is a weekend away. Now, you do so many weeks of Alpha, and at the end of it, there is a weekend away, and everybody is to go on this weekend, And it is all devised so that this weekend is going to be the highlight of it all. Now, many people say, well, it's evangelistic, it's to get people saved. But there are only three or four of the first lessons which are in any way evangelistic. Some of them deal with who God is. Now, if you were to say that that was evangelistic, that is one of the ones that is in the evangelistic category. But after a number of weeks, Alpha assumes, as we said, that everybody is saved. And then it goes on towards this Holy Spirit weekend, and the whole thrust is the highlight of this Holy Spirit weekend, and that weekend has the focus of receiving charismatic gifts when strange things happen. And the course of publicity, and on the website, it actually says the weekend is a crucial element of the course when the Holy Spirit is introduced. And if you read the testimonies of people who have taken part in the Alpha course, it indeed is the very center. So it's not salvation, it's not receiving salvation, which is the center of the Alpha course, but it is receiving charismatic gifts. That's the center of the course. Now here's a testimony that was given by somebody. I'm quoting from Renewal magazine. Now, when you listen to carefully to this testimony of a man who was involved in the Alpha course, he said, and I quote, "My wife encouraged me to read an article in a magazine about Alpha course at Holy Trinity Brompton. What had stuck in my mind was how the work of the Holy Spirit was described as of paramount importance. I knew in my heart I had to have his power in my life at any cost. So I enrolled on the course and focused on the weekend where the work of the Holy Spirit is discussed. Never mind the weeks of pre-med. I just wanted to get into the operating theater. I looked at the order of play, saw the third session on how can I be filled with the Spirit, which I identified as the main one, was at 4:30 p.m. and simply hung on like a marathon runner, weaving his way up to the finishing straight with nothing but the finishing tape as the focus of his attention. The prize was so near, but we were getting there so slowly. I literally wanted to scream out, 'Do it now, do it now. I can't hold out any longer.' I'm not exaggerating when I say I was in agony. Then Nicky Gumbel invited the Spirit to come, and oh, the relief." But I want you to notice there, you notice now he... This is the focus, this is the thing that he wanted, this power of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts, as it were, the manifestations of charismatic renewal. But what he said about the weeks coming up to it, he said, never mind the weeks of pre-med. Now, those are the weeks in which the gospel, if there is a gospel in the midst of Alpha, it is the first 3 or 4 weeks. He described that as just pre-med. What is pre-med? Well, pre-med is just before. That's the preparation for an operation. That's just how you get prepared. And you read the testimonies of one after another of those that are involved in Alpha. The focus is not upon seeing people saved. The focus is upon the receiving of the manifestation of these gifts. And Nicky Gumbel actually admits that in his book, Telling Others. He says, and I quote, "For many, the decisive moment is the Saturday evening of the weekend." So the decisive moment is not when they seek the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but when they seek the Spirit. And that is the whole point of Alpha. That is what it's designed for. It is designed by a charismatic church, by a charismatic man who is involved with the very heart of the charismatic movement, some of the most extreme manifestations of the charismatic movement, and that is what he wants people to get these gifts. Now let me quote you another very interesting testimony. This is the testimony of Douglas Cunningham, and I want you to listen very carefully to this. This is November 1997, February 1998 edition of Alpha News. This is what he says. "As the course went on, I had a sense that this was the truth. It was a gradual thing from hearing others speak and doing my own reading. I began to go to church and sing the worship songs. But this time I knew I was well on the way to becoming a Christian. I just needed something I could feel in the physical sense. I went along to the Holy Spirit Day mainly out of curiosity. When I received the Spirit, I just wept, and then I felt so peaceful. Now, do you listen to that? Here's a man who was going along. He says, I was well on the way to becoming a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. He hadn't been saved by the grace of God. But he went along to the Holy Spirit meeting in order to feel something, in order to experience something. And then it says, I received the Spirit. But how could a person who's not saved receive the Holy Spirit? That is not anything that we're told about in the New Testament. That is not anything like what we're told in the New Testament. Only those that had been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb were filled with the Spirit of God. But here's a man who, by his own admission, was not a Christian, went along hoping to see signs, hoping to see something tangible. He was like the people who went to see the Lord after the feeding of the 5,000 and wanted signs, wanted to see something, wanted to experience something. And when he came there, it says he received the Spirit, but he wasn't saved. Now, how can that be? There's something wrong there. And when the people go along to these weekends, they are told to expect something. Gumbel says that the purpose of the Holy Spirit weekends is that people are to expect all kinds of strange manifestations. Now, this is what he says goes on in these. What happens? What happens in the Holy Spirit weekends? Well, here's what he says, the author. Sometimes when people are filled, they shake like a leaf in the wind. Others find themselves breathing deeply, as if almost physically breathing in the Spirit. Physical heat sometimes accompanies the filling of the Spirit, and people experience it in their hands or some other part of their bodies. One person described a feeling of glowing all over. Another said she experienced liquid heat. Still another described burning in my arms when I was not hot. Now, again, that's all very interesting, but those phenomena are not found in the New Testament. You read through the New Testament, and you find where the Holy Spirit came. You do not find these things. But where do you find them? You find them in false religions. You find them in false religions. They are not unlike the Mormons burning in the bosom, which the Mormons speak about. Or you could find them in those that practice the pagan kundalini, shaking like a leaf. Edward Andrews has documented and done some work on the Shakers. Now, the Shakers were an offshoot of the Quakers. They were a heretical sect, and there was a lady by the name of Mother Anne, she became known, she came from Manchester. She was a young convert, and she proclaimed herself the female Christ. And she became the leader of these Shakers. But also among the Shakers, you had the same kind of thing, this shaking like a leaf. That's why they were called the Shakers, and all these sorts of excesses. And he documents almost the same kind of things amongst the Shakers, these heretical Shakers, as you find in the charismatic movement. So you don't find it described in the New Testament, but you do find it among heretical sects and heathen pagan religions. So that is something that ought to cause us concern, and something that ought to alert us to the fact that there's something wrong. Something's going on here. Of course, Holy Trinity Brompton too was at the very heart of the Toronto Blessing when it was in vogue in the land. And people said, this is a great revival, but it's gone. It's gone. There's no revival. So their Holy Spirit weekend is a promotion of charismatic phenomena. The second thing that the Alpha Course is used to promote is the presentation of New Age ideas. You see, we live in a day in what is called, we have the New Age religion. A New Age religion is basically a return to paganism. And it's heavily influenced by Eastern religions and by Eastern thought systems. And it has been accepted by many people. Many people believe now in reincarnation. They believe in crystals and channeling energy, talking to trees, and a multitude of other things that people are involved in today. Now, charismatic Christianity also is very much like the New Age in that it is all experience. New Age focuses on experiences. We are very much driven by experiences today. We are an experience-driven society. And charismatic Christianity taps into that New Age idea of experience rather than the thought that we have in God's precious Word. Now, Nicky Gumbel, the author of the Alpha Course, is very much aware of that. And he speaks about the New Age influence in Alpha, in the Alpha book, Telling Others. This is what he says. He says, in the Enlightenment, reason rules supreme, and explanation led to experience. In the present transitional culture, with its pick-and-mix worldview, in which the New Age movement is a potent strand, experiences lead to explanation. In other words, experience is king. It's what I experience. It's not what God's Word says. It's not what I read and then I put that into effect. But it is experience that leads me. Now that's what a whole lot of people have got caught up with today. As long as it feels good. That doesn't matter whether it says it in the Word. Doesn't matter whether it contradicts what the Word of God said. If it feels good. And a whole lot of Christians have got caught up with that. Well, that is at the very heart of Alpha as well. It is experience. And this is what Nicky Gumbel writes. I have found on Alpha that those from an essentially enlightened background feel at home with the parts of the course which appeal to the mind, but often have difficulty in experiencing the Holy Spirit. Others coming from the New Age movement find that the rational and historical explanations leave them cold, but at the weekend away, they are more familiar territory in experiencing the Holy Spirit. So he recognizes that there is a parallel between the weekend away and the New Age philosophy of this day and generations. And you find that in very much in the Alpha Course. It is very New Agey, very experience-led. In fact, I read about an Alpha Course in Australia, and the man was at an Alpha Course. And he says that quite plainly the people were talking about moving into the age of Aquarius. Now the age of Aquarius is a New Age term. The New Agers are trying to move us away from Christianity into what they call the New Age, the age of Aquarius. And at an Alpha conference, they were using the very New Age terminology of moving into the age of Aquarius. But we find that that is very different from the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't advocate experiences. Now when we're saved, we experience something. When we're saved, our emotions are affected. But the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One pastor who made use of the Alpha Course writes this, one of the problems of proclaiming the gospel in a postmodern world is that culture itself warms much more readily to lifestyle than to doctrine, but the Christian lifestyle is not Christian faith. I'm sure that many people are being converted through the Alpha Course, but I have a suspicion that some of those people are being converted to a Christian lifestyle rather than to Christ. Now that's a very telling comment by a man that used the Alpha Course. He said, these people are coming in and they're looking for a Christian experience. They're looking for a Christian lifestyle. But they're not being converted to Christ. They're not having their hearts changed. And men and women, unless we have our hearts changed, we're not saved. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's not experience led. It is led by the word of God. Now, that is something that perhaps it's hard to grasp as we describe it, but it is an important point. There is a new age influence upon this course. So there is a promotion of charismatic phenomena, a presentation of new age ideas. But also in the Alpha course, there is a progressing of ecumenical unity. That is another of the purposes of Alpha, to bring about a unity amongst the Roman Catholics and the liberal Protestants and the evangelicals. And it is pushing people together in a false unity. This is what Nicky Gumbel says about the differences between Protestants and Catholics. He says, and I quote, that they are totally insignificant compared to the things that unite us. We need to unite around the death of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, the absolute essential things at the core of the Christian faith on which we are all agreed. We need to give people liberty to disagree on the things that are secondary. Now, I agree wholeheartedly that we can disagree on things that are secondary, but the difference that occurred at the Reformation between those that preached justification by faith alone and turned again to the gospel and from the Church of Rome, which pronounced anathema upon those that preach the gospel, is an absolutely fundamental difference. But he just puts it into the category of being secondary. Bishop Riley, writing many years ago, said, our noble reformers bought the truth at the price of their own blood and handed it down to us. Let us take heed that we do not basely sell it for a mess of pottage under the specious names of unity and peace. But there are so many, and that is their purpose, and that is the purpose of Alpha. Again, Nicky Gumbel, this is what he says in Renewal magazine. There has been some comment which is not helpful to unity. Let us drop that and get on. It is wonderful that the movement of the Spirit will always bring churches together. He is doing that right across the denominations and within traditions. We are seeing Roman Catholics coming now. Nobody is suspicious of anybody else. People are no longer labeling themselves or others. I long for the day when we drop all these labels and just regard ourselves as Christians with a commission from Jesus Christ. Again, he says, a disunited church squabbling and criticizing makes it very hard for the world to believe. And then he says, we make it a rule on Alpha never to criticize another denomination, another Christian church, or Christian leader. And yet there are times when the Bible says that we need to criticize. Remember how we're told in Galatians chapter 2 how Paul withstood Peter to the face because he was to be blamed. He had undermined the gospel by his actions when he was staying away from the Gentiles. And Paul withstood him to the face. And we need to stand against the false doctrines of this day. John says in 1 John 4 and 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. And the effect of Alpha really is drawing Christians in the wrong direction. I've met people down in the south of Ireland that got caught up in Alpha. And they went along to the Alpha course and they were probably the only Christians there. They said all the other people who were in the head of it or who were counselors in it were Roman Catholics. And he said that people now are accepting the Roman Catholics who adhere to the Mass and all the doctrines as Christians. Now, we have always said that there can be Roman Catholics in the Roman Catholic Church, maybe in places where there's no other church, or where somehow, in a simple way, they've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have no idea maybe about the doctrines and things like that. There could be those within the Roman Catholic Church who are truly saved. But those who know about its doctrines, and those who still adhere to the Mass, and who know about the fact that the Mass is a continuation of the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, and the Bible says that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down and said it was finished. We cannot say that those who are contradicting God's word are saved. But now there's a confusion, and many even of God's people are accepting these Roman Catholics as truly saved, and the confusion is coming in. I read this testimony, a man called Pat McVeigh, a Roman Catholic who lives in Drumcree in Portadown. And he said, I did Alpha Ross Trevor, and I was in a mixed group of Catholics and Protestants. The atmosphere was wonderful because there weren't any divisions over doctrine, and I was accepted as I was, a Christian. There was a great bond between us, and every week as I left my home in Drumcree, it was as if a magnet was drawing me to the course. The meal and the friendships in the small group were so marvelous. Now, of course, it was good that he was making friends who were Protestants. It was wonderful that people were accepting in some degree. But we cannot accept that those that adhere to the doctrines of Rome, which repudiates justification by faith alone, can really be truly saved, because they are repudiating the very heart of the gospel. When I was in Corrigarry, there was an Alpha course organized in Coothill, and some of the Protestant ministers and a couple of the priests got together, and there was a radio program which was highlighting this, and one of the Protestant ministers said of this course, which included Catholics and people from liberal Protestant churches, and he said that at the moment, the classes are, he said, for believers. Now, by saying that, he was classing the Roman Catholics and the people from liberal Protestant denominations where they had not heard the gospel. He was classifying them as believers. But the Bible says that we've got to repent and believe the gospel. They aren't believers until they come to Christ. They aren't believers until they have accepted what the Bible says, that they are sinners by nature and by practice, and they can't come by their good works. That is the very thing that the Protestants and the evangelicals have preached down the years. Now, we can't turn our backs upon that, but many are, and they are doing it because they're being undermined by courses like the Alpha Course, where these people are brought in and they are accepted as Christians because of their baptism, or because their name's on a church roll. And evangelicals are accepting the things that they have stood against and preached against for years because of courses like Alpha. Now, that's the poison at the heart. That's the poison at the heart. The Bible says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered to the saints. You see, the Alpha Course really is just a rehashing of the Holy Ghost bartender, which is a charismatic term, of days gone by. It's just coming back with the same thing again. And they come to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But how can people who are not saved receive the Holy Spirit of God? It can't be. There's something wrong. Something wrong at the very heart. And that's what we say. We're not against Alpha because it's not ours, or because we are jealous of somebody else that's seen success, but because of the fact that it's undermining the very foundations of the gospel. And that's why we've got to stand against this, and why we've got to cry against it. And what we have to do today is preach the gospel. Preach the truth of God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We stand against these things. You might be here and you don't understand why we might be against other Christians who are doing something. But we stand against these things because we don't want the foundations undermined. And we want you, maybe you're not here, you're here not saved. We want you in the future and your children's children to have a place where they can hear the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we stand for these things. And so there are many people and they think that maybe when we're talking about Alpha, well, it's only small differences. But there is a very fundamental difficulty right at the very heart of this thing. But men, women, if you're not saved, then we direct you to Christ. Now, we're not directing you. If you are saved, you'll be have the Holy Spirit come and indwell in your heart. And that's what happens when you're saved. But we direct you to Christ, for He's the Savior. Go to Him tonight. Be washed in His precious blood. And thank God He will take every sin away and give you new life and a new heart and a new beginning. May God help you to turn to Him and find Him whom to know is life eternal. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee. And we realize, our God, that the devil is subtle today, and we realize that these things come along and they are designed, and whether the authors of them know it or not, they undermine the very heart of the gospel. But our God, we thank Thee for the gospel. We thank Thee that the true gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And our God, there are those that go for quick results, for quick fixes. And our God, we realize that quick fixes, as far as salvation is concerned, will not work. We need a true heart conversion, where men and women are born again of the Spirit of God. And we pray that we might have much of that in this day. And men and women might turn to Thee and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Speak to hearts, we pray of Thee. And do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen.